Now, with the federal election looming, Scott Morrison's government was hit with a double blow yesterday when two of its heavyweights announced their retirements. If you haven't heard about the trials and tribulations of Christian Porter in the last 12 months, you've been living under a rock. And his resignation, while a big announcement, isn't really surprising. But the news Health Minister Greg Hunt is set to retire after 20 years in politics did come as a bit of a surprise. Joining me now to help us unpack this is Senior Lecturer in Politics at the University of Notre Dame, Martin Drum. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning, Ben.
And so, did this double whammy of retirements come as a surprise to you?
Well, the Christian Porter one's, of course, not a surprise. It was broken in the West a couple of weeks ago that he was considering his retirement. And prior to that, there was speculation probably for a good few months that with the pressure he'd been under and everything else and losing his spot in the ministry, that this would be a course of action he'd consider retiring at the next election. So that one wasn't so much of a surprise. Greg Hunt's one was a bit more of a surprise. There'd been a few whispers around about him not going on, but he's very much an integral part of the cabinet and the Morrison government, so he'll be a real loss for them.
Yeah, well, what does it all mean for the coalition, do you think?
Well, you know, on the surface, it looks quite troubling and destabilising, but we have to remember that before the last election, we had a lot more departures than this time, and it's pretty routine about this time, this amount of time out from the election during the last sitting weeks of Parliament this year, that there might be a couple of MPs that put up their hand and say they're walking away. This is about as late as you can do it and still hope to find a candidate for your seat next time round. Mm. So you do get the opportunity, of course, to have your final speech in Parliament, thank everyone, you know, outline your achievements, etc., etc.
Yeah, so this is the sort of time you do it. You mentioned there were more resignations before the last federal election. That was a federal election that the coalition weren't that confident of holding. Does this show any lack of confidence this time around that some of these coalition members might not be keeping their seats?
It's an interesting one. I think that you're right in your assessment last time around. Certainly a lot of coalition MPs thought they'd lose. It's not, even though Labor's ahead in the polls this time round, because of what happened last time, I think there's a lot more wariness in being too specific about predicting the next election. So it's not really apparent that the coalition will win or lose. There's still a lot of water to go under the bridge. And this is a really uncertain time because of COVID and the coming out of COVID and, you know, the new strand. And there's a lot of uncertainty between now and early next year, you know, whether we have an election in March or in May. We can't be certain. But in the case of Greg Hunt, even though it's a bit of a surprise, he has been in Parliament 20 years. I mean, that's a fairly decent stint. And he got in 2001, so perhaps he decided that's time for him.
Mm. And what do you think it means for the way the Morrison government will approach the pandemic? Because Hunt has obviously been front and centre in the fight against COVID-19 in this country as the health minister.
Yeah, that's a really good question because there's two ways they can do it. Sometimes prime ministers or premiers decide to move on a minister who's not recontesting. But conversely, it might mean that he doesn't have to go around campaigning in his own electorate. He can focus fully on his role as minister and give that new candidate space to campaign. So he might decide for stability reasons to keep Greg Hunt on until for the next few months, until early next year.
Mm. And now talking about campaigning, what do you think happens in Christian Porter's seat of Pierce? Do you think there was any chance he would have held on to it anyway, given all of, I guess, the scandals and the allegations that had been flying his way over the past 12 months?
It's a really interesting seat, that seat of Pierce. Labor thought that they could win it last time, and obviously they didn't. But this time around, it had had a major redistribution. So it's pretty much in the state, in the local government area of Wanneroo now, which would have made it harder for Christian Porter regardless. Then you've taken into consideration all of his challenges he's had, everything from the allegations through to the issue around undeclared donations, and he was certainly struggling in that respect as well. So, and He's up against, you know, the actual mayor of Wanneroo is a Labor candidate. So it was always going to be a fascinating contest. Now, I guess we've got a completely new scenario, and we really got to look to who the Liberals pre-select to get a bit better read on how that's going to transpire.
Yeah, right. And we've heard that a former naval officer, Michaela Riley, intends to nominate. Do you think they'll go for a fresh face? Do you think a woman would be, you know, sort of give the right optics, given what's been going on in federal parliament?
It certainly wouldn't do any harm. And it's no surprise to see a couple of women put up their hands accordingly. So you've got, you know, a prominent woman Labor candidate, so it probably makes sense from the Liberals' perspective to try and counter that. And then if you've got a range of issues around the treatment of women in politics and the need to get more women into politics that's just come out with the Jenkins report, then certainly it would be timely for them to select someone like that.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that Jenkins report. Some bombshell revelations. The culture itself probably didn't come as a surprise because we know that Canberra has been a bit of a cesspit for years, but I think the scale and the scope of the sexual harassment in Canberra came as a shock, and that it involved female MPs, so many staffers. The percentage of people impacted is just absolutely mind-boggling that it was allowed to even happen. How do you think the Morrison government will handle that? It seems as though so far the Prime Minister has taken the approach of, well, you know, it wasn't just us and we're all going to fix this, as opposed to maybe showing very clear leadership.
Some good assessments there. Look, it was absolutely shocking. I think a lot of us have watched politics for a while are not entirely surprised, but it was still an awful report in terms of its contents, and it's the kind of thing that people would expect that the Prime Minister acts on. I think there's no doubt he has to be seen to be implementing some of the recommendations, at least that coming out of the Jenkins report. He can't just palm it off and say it's everyone's problem. That's kind of true. It is everyone's problem. But of course, when you're in government, then you have a special responsibility to show leadership.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. How do you think it impacts voters when they head to the ballot box next year, presumably sometime around May?
Oh, I think there's already a lot of talk and discussion about how women have been treated in politics. And I think there's also a sense that we need to get more women into politics. And so, you know, you're going to see it play out a little bit like you might see in Pierce, where it might provide an opportunity for a Liberal woman to stand there, but you might see other patterns as well. I mean, who knows what will happen in Greg Hunt's seat, for instance. We might see a female candidate there for the Liberal Party. So you might see more Liberal candidates in winnable seats, which would be an asset for Morrison, you'd imagine.
Mm, yeah, one thing's for sure. It's going to be very interesting to see how it all plays out in the months to come. Senior lecturer in politics at the University of Notre Dame, Martin Drum, thanks as always for joining us on The West Live.
You're welcome.